Right now, we've got Deb Strohman, Keenan Flagler Business School professor at UNC, talking sports. She joins us by phone right now. Thanks for joining us. And just to get things started, we got Tar Heel baseball tonight, but it was a really, really good weekend for Tar Heel sports overall.
Absolutely. I think the Tar Heels are no doubt a power, but oftentimes we just focus on the beginning of the year and especially all the branding that goes along with football. And, of course, our traditional power, which is men's basketball. But the teams, the university is known as UNC, the University of National Championships, for a reason. And in particular, it's the spring sports. Every program is outstanding. Usually every team is in the NCAA playoffs. And then, of course, our track and field program, which has been re-energized under the leadership of Harless Metters. They're competing now. Quite possibly we might have some Tar Heels in the Olympics in Rio this summer.
That's really cool. And then over the weekend, we had UNC women's tennis winning, men's tennis winning, UNC men's and women's lacrosse winning, and was it the 4x400 men's relay that won the ACC?
That's right, an outstanding team, and they're the ones who really have a great shot to make it to Brazil. But also softball, they've been invited to the NCAA playoffs. In fact, it's kind of just great coaching by Donna Papa and her squad, her staff. 13 out of the past 16 years, they've been in the NCAA tournament.
Speaking of playoffs, we've got some professional playoffs going on, NHL playoffs, of course, the conference finals starting up. Same with the NBA, with the Cavaliers taking on, who is it, the Raptors? It doesn't even matter at this point.
We the North.
Yes.
I love that tagline. but I definitely want to point out one of our greats, Jerry Stackhouse. He is an assistant coach for Toronto, and many people thought that he would be the next Michael Jordan, which is always unfair, but he had an outstanding career at Carolina. He never lost to Duke in his 2 years here. He went on to the pro leagues and an all-star. He scored over 16,000 points. He was the first athlete to wear the number 42 when he was in Brooklyn since Jackie Robinson. And now Jerry is really, I don't want to say a new man, but certainly he's showing all of the skills, all of the things that he brings to the game. He lost two sisters to diabetes, and so he's really focused on being a philanthropist and also being an entrepreneur helping youth. He has camps, he has teams. He was a big part of Brandon Ingram and his development, and we know Brandon left early at Duke, and now he's possibly going to be in the NBA as a solid player. But he's just an amazing man. I had him come speak to the Basketball Analytics Summit last year, and he basically led the entire panel session. He also attended Harvard's Sports Business Program for Executives, and he was the only former star pro athlete to be in attendance. And here we are today. Now Jerry Stackhouse has been noted as one of the key staff members in Dwayne Casey's squad to get the Raptors to the Eastern Finals.
That's a really great story with Jerry Stackhouse. Are you still rooting for Cleveland, though?
I am. You know, it's one of those things where you have a favorite on each squad, but I do like the way Cleveland is playing. Last year, again, I really felt that they could have gone further, if not win at all, if Kyrie Irving had not been hurt. But the way the combination, the way Love, Irving, and LeBron are playing right now, which also makes it much better for the role players, I really think that it will be very difficult for the Raptors to beat Cleveland. It doesn't hurt that LeBron James has another reason to go to the next level with all the talk with the NBA stuff and, of course, him having that big weight on his shoulders to try and win a championship for Cleveland. But I think the conference finals, they will be competitive, but I think Cleveland will win that pretty soundly.
We're speaking with Dr. Deb Strohman, UNC Keenan Flagler Business School athletics expert as well. And you were mentioning earlier, and I know we wanted to talk about this last week too, that that the Cavaliers are really rolling through the NBA playoffs, and now they're entering the conference finals with a lot of time, or having had a lot of time off. Raptors, meanwhile, took the full seven games to get past the Heat. And does that help Cleveland, or does it hurt them to have had all that time off to get rusty while the Raptors have had all of that practice on the court?
Yes, and that is called the rust versus rest phenomena. And each team is different, but I think when you have a veteran team like Cleveland, they really would value the time off. Certainly, they had a few injuries throughout the season where when you're playing at this level, every hour helps. You know, you want to get off of your feet. You want to get in the ice baths. You want to make sure you get good massages. And then, of course, you get to do film study. Even though the Raptors went down to the last game, the seven games with Miami, still you had more opportunity for the coaches to study the players, the tendencies, the analytics. So they're going to be very, very well prepared for Toronto. Toronto's advantage is that they still have momentum. They haven't left the court, so to speak. Now, it would be better for them if they were playing at home, but because they do have to travel, even though it's not that far, but still they do have to travel to Cleveland, so that's going to mess up their time or affect their time to actually do the reporting on Cleveland and get it to the players. Now, the coaching staff, they've been certainly having late hours, you know, scouting Cleveland, knowing that that was going to be their opponent. But still, now you have to find the time to get that information to the players and make sure they're comfortable with the new schemes.
Other side of the NBA playoffs in the Western Conference, you've got the Golden State Warriors obviously moving through, Stephen Curry coming back, seemingly healthy after having that time off. Oklahoma City beating San Antonio, that was an upset, but not a huge one. Now Oklahoma City has to get past Golden State. How do you see that going?
Well, this is going to be a tough one. Congratulations to the Thunder. For the fourth time in 6 years, they go to the Western Finals. I think it's about matchups and motivation. Even though Kevin Durant plays on the outside for much of the game, he still is matched up small forward-wise with our Harrison Barnes. Now, of course, Durant would get the nod on that one, but the intangibles that Harrison brings to the Warriors can't be understated. And then, of course, the other big matchup is Curry versus Westbrook. Kevin Durant averaged 36 points against the Thunder during the season, and he shot 53%, so Kevin's going to get his. So the question is whether or not Westbrook will. He averaged 25 points per game during the regular season, but he only shot about 35%. And I think that's because he was so tired on the defensive end, running around trying to keep up with those, tried to fight over and fight through those picks for Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry. So I think it's going to be a great series. Right now, if the center for the Warriors, Bogut, if he is really injured and he can't play, there's no doubt that Thunder will win this, I believe, because the Thunder front line is playing very well. But if Bogut can play at least 70%, I do give the nod to the Warriors.
All right, picking the Thunder if Bogut's injured. That would be a huge upset if that were to happen. Even as good as the Thunder are and as good as they've been playing, I think a lot of people would be shocked if that happened.
Well, when you're talking about the team play that the Warriors have, they are definitely, their scheme is to play good defense, but if you get beat, you do have this imposing seven-footer out there who's very smart. He generally does not get into a lot of foul trouble, and certainly Draymond Green has been a big part of the defensive end as well, but still the idea is to funnel to your post players. And really the Warriors do not have a very strong backup player who plays that dirty game, that tough game, that meanness that you need out of the post. Spate, he's good, but he's more outside, and he just doesn't have the aggressiveness or the experience as Bogut.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, expert on sports and expert on analytics as well. So let's get off the court for a second and talk about another piece of big NBA-related news. This past week, the Philadelphia 76ers announced that they are going to be the first NBA team to stick advertisements on their jerseys. StubHub is paying them $5 million a year for the next 3 years to advertise on the jersey. And I have to say, hearing this information, the thing that surprises me more than anything else is the fact that this didn't happen 10, 15 years ago.
I think you're exactly right. Now, there is no doubt that the NBA is the very, very profitable organization. 13 teams are worth at least $1 billion, up from just three 2 years ago. The money is flowing. The television is a big part of that. The league cut a deal in this past, October of 2014, where now the NBA has a contract with ESPN/ABC and TNT, $24 billion over 9 years. So the money is just flowing, which of course means corporations want to get their name attached to the NBA. Nike just took over the deal from Adidas. And starting in the 2017-18 season, we're going to see Nike uniforms. And that contract is over $1 billion annually. And so now you look at the teams that are still struggling. I think maybe a third of the teams, the way Adam Silver is reporting, that they're still struggling financially. But you have to look at a squad like Philadelphia, where they're in a very prominent media market, and they cannot get the local revenue. And so you try to be creative. I'm for the logos on the uniforms, if that will help. I think it will not distract from the prominence of the city, of the names 76ers, and certainly the athletes, because the NBA is a great marketing machine. But if it means that they can, you know, bring in these extra dollars, everything from keeping ticket prices down and merchandising down, I'm all for it.
Do you see that going too far? I know we always make fun of NASCAR for just putting advertisements all over every imaginable space of their vehicles. Is that too far?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, this is professional sports. This is big business. And you do whatever it takes to bring in the dollars. The bigger question is whether or not it's a valuable, if it's a smart move for the sponsor. You know, we have everything from making too much noise, as we say in marketing, or the clutter factor. But certainly it doesn't distract us from following our favorite race car drivers, certainly soccer. WNBA has been doing it. So I really don't think it affects the fan.
All right. What about the other sort of wild advertising thing that we've seen in the last 10, 15 years? I can't even remember what the name of the company was. It was Golden something that was paying boxers to put the temporary tattoos on their backs.
Well, that is a little different there. Certainly, you know, with everything being focused in the ring and you only have two athletes there, it's kind of hard not to miss that type of advertising on someone's body like that. So that's a unique one. But when we're talking about a team sport or a sport like race car driving where everything is happening and moving so fast, I think there will be greater interest or, in fact, people being disappointed or upset around that. But, you know, with everything being focused on that boxing ring, that was just what we call mad money. To put that on the boxes, for sure.
And speaking with Dr. Deb Strom and Keenan Flagler, Business School, and speaking of money in sports, there's another big story that Yahoo Sports reported not long ago out of Texas, and we know how big high school football is in Texas. They did a whole TV series about it, after all, but a report that there is a school in Texas that is spending $50 million to build a new high school football stadium, and this is not the first district in Texas to do it. It's the third, right, that's spending $50+ million dollars to build a high school football stadium. What do you make of this?
Well, it just goes back to perspective. We get in a little tizzy around an athlete getting an extra meal or getting a flight paid to go back home to visit a family member for whatever reason, and yet you think, as I've always said, this stuff starts K through 12. But there's no doubt that Texas is known as Friday Night Lights, and, of course, the Dallas Cowboys have paved the way with Jerry Jones having a $1.2 billion stadium. And so as the high school leader was quoted, he said, "We need this to enhance and help our program grow." So they had a bond referendum, $220 million, and this stadium is going to hold about 12,000 people. It's 23% of the bond. And, of course, they have their neighbor down the road, Allen, Texas. Their stadium is 18,000, and these stadiums are sold out, and this is what their community wants. They eat, sleep, and drink football there, and they feel that this is something that helps bring the community together. All these things that we say, why we want sports to be on our college campuses, why America's in love with sports, because what it does with the connectedness, with bringing people together, and certainly creating a spirit of camaraderie and everyone's all together. And so when you think about the numbers, it makes you go, yikes, you know, what's going on? But in terms of what it does for the community, certainly they're putting their votes to their values.
And if you're listening out there and you haven't seen this story, it's on Yahoo Sports, so get online. There's like a 2.5-minute video that you can watch with different people commenting, a couple people in favor, one person opposed. But you just raised a really interesting point in there, which is that it's a $50 million stadium that's being funded as part of a $225 million bond. So $175-ish million is going to pay for arts in the high schools and new technology and new security and new construction and new buildings and infrastructure and maintenance and repairs and things like that. And I can definitely imagine a school district, especially in, you know, not to stereotype Texas, but, you know, a district that may not be super in favor of investing $175 million in public education, tack an extra $50 million onto that. Say we're going to build a football stadium. Now you got people going to the polls and voting for something they might vote against, and now we've got the money for an arts program.
And that's a great point as well. And so you really have to look at the academic performance of these schools and whether or not it warrants, because you could say, certainly we can make do with our current athletic facilities and let's put more money into these other areas. But I think it was very strategic, very political to bring it all under one package like that. And so you get the 2-for-1 or whatever the ratio might be. But again, it just speaks to what the community wants. And, you know, certainly you're going to have your naysayers, just as we have naysayers for big-time college sports. But what drives it is action, not the talk. And people come out and they support, and this is what brings people together. And, you know, it brings families together, and certainly there are a lot of charitable activities that go alongside with sport. But the people are speaking in Texas, and this is what they want, and certainly I don't think it's going to stop. I think this train has left the station.
And I have to apologize to everyone in Texas, because there's no greater guarantee that someone is about to stereotype Texas than when someone says not to stereotype Texas, but... But nevertheless, it's a big development down there. I was surprised to hear that.
Well, I would just, if we think about all this going on in our state right now, just think if there were a high school that wanted to do this, and how North Carolinians would respond. Mm. So it's just interesting. What do they say? You wear the big hat in Texas?
Yep. Big everything in Texas.
Yes.
All right. Dr. Deb Stroman, Kenan Flagler Business School, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.